You're going to love my next great guest. His name is Jim Casey. Now, Mr. Casey had a successful career of 32 years in law enforcement, culminating in his assignment as the special agent in charge of the FBI Jacksonville field office from 2008 to 2012. There, he led a staff of approximately 250 special agents, task force officers, and analysts directing all FBI investigations in a 40-county area of North Florida. These included matters of counterterrorism, counterintelligence, cyber, public corruption, corporate fraud, and human and tactical intelligence. During his 25 years with the FBI, Mr. Casey also served in the FBI's Detroit, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati field offices, as well as two tours at FBI headquarters in positions of increasing responsibility. Most of his assignments were in counterterrorism and national security matters, and in 2001, while testifying at a special Scottish court sitting in the Netherlands, it was determined that he was an expert witness in counterterrorism. Now, Mr. Casey might be retired from the FBI, but he's still a very busy man. He is the president at FCS Global Advisors, where he utilizes his background as an FBI executive to help companies and organizations keep their people, property, and information safe by providing complex investigative solutions, litigation support, due diligence for business decisions, crisis management, personal and property security assessments, cyber solutions, and so much more. This is a great interview with a great guest. Stay tuned for Jim Casey next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Top Rank Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Patrick here, host and creator. Thank you again for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. A big shout out to all the brave men and women out there. Whatever you are doing in the criminal justice field, thank you for doing it. Don't believe all the crap you read in certain media outlets about how you're not wanted and loved and everybody hates you. That's a bunch of bullshit. There are many, millions of people that love and cherish you. Keep up the fantastic work. Keep your head up high. We will come through this stronger and more resilient. Folks, I'm here to tell you about my good friends at Detectachem. If you've never heard of this company, you need to learn about them right now. They are helping keep our brave men and women who protect us safe every day by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of their hands, protecting them from illicit drugs, explosives. You have to get this equipment for your organization. Handheld equipment that I wish I had. I wish I had this technology when I was a younger officer, but you can now for your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com, click on the link to Detectachem and see how they can help keep your troops safer. Folks, if you love coffee, and I know most of you do, you are going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I've been touting this company for almost 2 years now because I love their products. I love their Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. Even though they have many other products, I'm hooked on the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. And yes, I said mushrooms, but it doesn't taste like mushrooms. It tastes like regular coffee. In fact, I think it tastes better. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. From elixirs to cocos to coffee, they have it all. Again, head over to cjevolution.com. See the link to Four Sigmatic. Now, best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases at checkout using promo code CJEVO. Enjoy. You know, for many years, I suffered from stomach issues. I wasn't eating right. I had a whacked out sleeping schedule, and the list goes on. You know what I'm talking about. Now, if you suffer from digestive issues like gas, bloating, cramping, even when you're eating healthy, nutritious foods, then you probably could benefit from a high-quality enzyme. If you've never tried enzymes, or even if you've tried and they haven't worked, I want you to give this one a chance. As you know, I'm a mega fan of the company's Bioptimizers. They are one of the few supplement companies who have the best formulations and use the highest quality ingredients. And you know what? Their products work. I asked them if we could organize a great deal for all my listeners, and you know what? They over-delivered. Right now, you can get a bottle of Masszymes for free. All you need to do is pay a small shipping fee, and there's no catch. There's no tricks, no forcing you to continue, nothing to cancel. They are so confident in their products that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee, so I'm positive you'll be satisfied with the results. Mass Zymes is a 17-enzyme full-spectrum formula using 5 different kinds of protease. Plus, it contains all the key enzymes needed for optimal digestion. Mass Zymes ensures that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. Now look, let's be honest, so many individuals suffer from digestive issues because any protein your body doesn't break down creates digestive distress, such as gas, bloating, and constipation. Mass Zymes ensures that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. So I strongly suggest you head over to their site to grab your bottle before they either run out or take down this offer. Go to www.masszymes.com/free. That's masszymes.com/free, all one word. You will automatically get access to your unique coupon code to claim your free bottle. Limit one per household. Now, offer is valid while supplies last. You are going to love their products. Again, go to www.masszymes.com/free. On to this great show with the one and only Jim Casey. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show. His name is Jim Casey. He's had a distinguished career over 32 years in law enforcement, and he was the SAC special agent in charge of the FBI's Jacksonville field office from 2008 to 2012. And he's doing so much more. He's going to talk about his company, his expertise here on the show. Jim, are you there, sir?
I am. Thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I know you're busy. I always ask law enforcement, Jim, why did you become a law enforcement professional? You got so much experience, but what was the catalyst that got you into the profession, sir?
You know, I get asked that a lot, and I used to do a lot of speaking to schools and churches and things like that when I was, you know, still in the business. And it's hard for me to put my finger on any one, you know, touch point. I know as a young kid, my grandfather was a police officer, retired with a pretty high rank. My father was a CIA officer, and I was kind of encouraged to go into law enforcement. And interestingly enough, when I first started college, I was a music major. I used to say, I don't tell all my FBI buddies that, but and now that I'm out and they can't, you know, gig me about it or anything. So, when I started college, keyboard was my downfall. My first semester in college, I had all these music courses and they were all one credit. It's like, you know, my friends had 6 classes and I had like 18 because they were one credit classes. And I decided, you know, maybe this just isn't for me. It's kind of like, I think maybe college football players realize only so many of them are going to go to the NFL. And that's exactly the way I felt. I got into a school with a good music program. And these guys that had, gals that I was with were like really, really good. And I was probably going to be a music teacher, which is, you know, I thought I was going to be a studio musician or something like that, doing recordings in New York. And it just wasn't going to be that way. So, you know, I pivoted to plan B, which was to get into the political science criminal justice program. They had a really interesting campus police department at James Madison, where I went to school, and I got involved in campus police. And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Yeah. And I know you did about 5 years, correct me if I'm wrong, as a police officer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At Arlington, Virginia.
Correct.
Now, what, I mean, how did you, okay, you started out municipal law enforcement, and you just said, you know, at some point I'm going to go for feds. I'm going to go for the FBI.
So Arlington's right there in Northern Virginia, mm-hmm. Fairfax, Alexandria, and those areas are kind of like, you know, the minor leagues for the federal departments right across the bridge in Washington, sure. D.C. So a lot of people, you know, kind of go from those departments into the federal agencies. And I had a lot of buddies that's what they did. They were going to the Secret Service, ETF, State Department, FBI. And so just kind of set my sights on that kind of being probably the next move I would make. And in fact, I did have a little 18-month stint between the FBI, between Arlington PD and the FBI. I was in the State Department as a special agent of diplomatic security. Mm-hmm. I had applied to the Bureau. There was a little bit of a hiring freeze. I applied to the State Department, Secret Service, and I got hired at the State Department very rapidly. There were a lot of terrorism incidents that were going on around the world. And they were building up that small agency called Diplomatic Security Service, which today has about 1,200 agents. It's not real small anymore. And I went there, and then the Bureau called and said, hey, are you still interested? And I had already been through the testing protocols. I just had to do the fit test and the drug test, and I was in. So ended up in the FBI in 1987.
Wow, 32 years.
the stories that you probably have. Now, for people who don't know, Jim, what is a special agent in charge? What's a SAC?
It's kind of the CEO of a field division. So there's 56 field divisions in the FBI. 54 of them are run by SACs. Two of them, actually, take that back. There are three of them that are run by assistant directors. There are largest divisions, Washington Field Office, New York Field Office, and Los Angeles Field Office all have assistant directors in charge, or ADICs. And the other 53 offices have special agents in charge. So kind of in charge of, you know, running the organization for the FBI right there in that field division. And you have, you know, some assistant agents in charge that work for you, some supervisors, and then the agents, you know, that work for the supervisors. Mm-hmm. And then the whole analytical and support side of it as well.
Sure. Now, what do you think right now, Jim? I mean, you still have your finger on the pulse, obviously, even though you're retired. I bet you still talk to people all the time. What is the biggest threat that the FBI deals with now to the country?
Well, I think since I left, the two top threats remain the same. They are number one, counterterrorism, and number two, counterintelligence. And that changed rapidly after 9/11.
Sure.
Obviously, the FBI had a lot of priorities before that, and counterterrorism was kind of midway in that pack. When 9/11 happened and Director Mueller, you know, had been in the FBI for 6 days as the director, he rapidly turned the organization into, you know, kind of an intelligence driven organization where counterterrorism number one, counterintelligence number two, and cyber threats number three. And that remains sort of the priorities of the FBI.
Jeez, and I can't imagine what the FBI sees on a daily basis that comes in. It just must be just tremendous. Now, we talked a little bit off the air, you know, with what is going on, you know, pivoting back to law enforcement, municipal law enforcement. A lot going on in the world. That's an understatement. How do you think, in your opinion, Jim, do we go forward with all that is going on? There are a lot of anti-police sentiment out there.
Yeah, so I tend to think that there's a silent majority of Americans who really, truly, you know, love and support law enforcement. I don't buy the hype that we're seeing.
I don't either. Yeah.
On the, you know, in the mainstream media that, you know, the majority of the community wants to have police defunded. Look, when I was in Arlington, I worked in an area, a beat for about 3 years. It was predominantly African-American, had a lot of poverty, had a lot of crime. You know who wanted the police in that community? Everybody was over 30 years old. Mm-hmm. 100% of them who had kids wanted people in that community. So they're not interested in defunding police. So, you know, I do think that the majority of Americans support their police. And I don't believe that, you know, any of this defunding, I mean, you may see major cities like New York take $1 billion or LA take, you know, millions of dollars away. But, you know, the notion that the police departments are going to go away, I think it's fallacy. I think that even in a place like Minneapolis, you know, I've written that I think, you know, they may change the name of the department and call it something else. They may change the uniforms and repaint the cars, but they're still going to be state law enforcement officers who've been certified by Minnesota. And the majority of them will be the same officers that were there before they changed the name.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned New York. I mean, you heard that they got rid of 600, I think, you know, plainclothes detectives, yeah, the anti-crime division. And in the last, what, week or two, crime in New York City has surged.
Think about that notion. Let's get rid of the anti-crime division. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something sort of counterintuitive about that in a police department.
Yeah.
I can see getting rid of some divisions. Anti-crime wouldn't be one of them.
Well, yeah, it just amazes me. I don't get the, I mean, I know it's political, you know, politics and things like that. But I mean, you mentioned it too, Jim, that the communities that need it the most are not going to have those police officers anymore, or there are going to be few of them.
Right.
Yeah, right. It just blows me away. And then, of course, Minneapolis, that you know, they want an abolishment of the police department altogether.
They think they do. I'm not sure they really do.
So going forward, I mean, do you think, and I agree with you 100%. I say that on the show all the time, brother, where I think the majority of Americans support law enforcement. I wish they were more vocal about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, what do you think it is? Do you think it's, you know, we just need to come together and have more collaboration or work together more? I mean, what do you think? I know it's a broad question, but you know, you got a lot of experience.
Yeah, I think I'm a huge supporter of local law enforcement, and I write about it, I tweet about it, I'm on social media all the time, and I'm, you know, following cops and supporting what they're trying to do, legal defense funds and things like that. I think that you know, I think citizens just have to take account for, you know, I like to say, you know, people get the government they deserve, they get the police they deserve.
Sure.
So, you know, people just need to take accounting and tell their representatives what it is they really want. And, you know, most of them, as we both just said, do not want to have their departments defunded. They don't want fewer police. Most of them want more. And we can talk about training. We can talk about chokeholds. We can talk about all of those things. But, you know, I think that so much of this is anecdotal. We're taking one-off incidences and making that the theme. And it's just not true.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the stats don't back it up.
Right.
You know, but yeah. Now let's switch a little bit. We were talking again a little bit before we started about Antifa. This anti-fascist group that everybody right. hears about. Why are we allowing, you know, you've seen CHOP and amazing. We don't hear about that place anymore in Seattle, but why are we allowing these groups to flourish? Because they're violent, extremely violent. I think the president just labeled them a week or two ago as a terrorist organization. Why are we allowing them to flourish?
Yeah, so my opinion is that they're an interesting case study just because they're so decentralized. It's almost like it's like Al-Qaeda members here in the United States. Okay, everybody's heard of bin Laden. A couple of people have heard of KSM or Zawahiri, who was, you know, the number two in Al-Qaeda. But, you know, if a guy in Brooklyn decided to be an Al-Qaeda bomber, he couldn't name five Al-Qaeda leaders. He just mm-hmm. knows that there's this thing that he has an affinity for, and so, you know, maybe studies online about, you know, how to build a bomb or whatever. I think Antifa's a lot like that. They're very decentralized. There's no hierarchy. There's no national leadership. And so, you know, Americans really have this this notion that, you know, organization, we're used to structure and organization and responsibility and things like that. And so trying to get our heads around something that really doesn't have that, it's really hard for most of us to understand.
Mm-hmm. Kind of hiding in plain sight kind of stuff.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I just said kind of hiding in plain sight. It's hard
to... Yeah, yeah. And, you know, my analysis of Antifa is they're just sort of the latest iteration of, you know, these anarchist groups. You know, you could call them Occupy Wall Street. You can call them Earth Liberation Front, Animal Liberation Front, Black Panthers back in the 60s. You know, even some of the communists in the 30s, they're the same sort of agitators. And I like to say, they can't even tell you what they really want. They can tell you what they don't want. They don't want corporations. They don't want the status quo. They don't want capitalism. They're against all that. But to really pin them down and say, what is it you really do want? Most of them don't know.
Yeah. Just kind of going along with the herd.
Exactly.
Now, when the president designates a group as a terrorist organization, what exactly does that mean? What is it? Is it free up funds? What does it do, Jim, from a federal standpoint?
So actually, I think I could be wrong on this, but who's the famous basketball Charles Barkley used to say, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think that the president, he said that he was going to designate.
Oh, he hasn't done it yet.
Group. But only the State Department designates foreign terrorist groups.
Okay.
There are no U.S. organizations that are, quote, designated as terrorist groups. And the part of that is that, you know, in the U.S., we have laws against everything that would be sort of terrorist, right? Either mm-hmm. building a bomb, deploying a bomb, getting illegal guns. Almost anything you would do in support of terrorism is already a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason these organizations that are foreign terrorist groups are designated as such is it gives the U.S. government leverage to go after people who are supporting them, like by sending them money and things like that mm-hmm. primarily. So even though President Trump said he was going to designate Antifa as a
he hasn't done
group,
it yet.
He can't do it. U.S. State Department has to do it.
And so, like you said, when it does happen, whoever it is, then you target the money and funding and stuff like that.
Right. And there's certain political ramifications in other, you know, countries that are allies of ours. If we've designated, you know, for example, Hamas as a terrorist group, then, you know, they have to give us, you know, a certain amount of you know, cooperation and things like that, just because they're allies and we've mm-hmm. designated them as a group. So
now back to law enforcement, brother, if somebody came to you and said, Jim, you've been in law enforcement, you know, municipal, federal for a very long time. I want to get into it. I want to throw my hat in the law enforcement field. What would you tell them?
That's a hard question because, you know, you know, I, obviously, you know, we did it.
Yeah. different time.
There is a certain passion, and, you know, people have a calling, and I firmly believe that the majority of people get into it do so because they really are, you know, they've got this passion to help people. And I mean, who else runs into a building where people are shooting? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That changed, you know, during our time in law enforcement. It used to be, you know, rally SWAT, you know, hold the perimeter and let them go in. And then, you know, after Columbine, it became, you know, go in first guy there.
Oh yeah.
Get whatever you got and go. So, you know, if you're not ready to do that, you don't have a passion to say, you know, this is on me, you know, you're probably in the wrong business. So if somebody really feels like they have that passion to do that, then I don't want to discourage them. Those are the type of people we have to have you know, doing this job. I think the hard part is, you know, where do they do it? Do you go to one of these major cities that don't really seem to have the support, at least of the politicians, or, you know, to go someplace a little more rural or suburban where, you know, politicians and the citizens really do support their police and their departments.
That's a great point. I started out in a rural agency and I couldn't agree more. I mean, we had a lot of support. There's not everybody's always going to love the cops, but we had a lot of support, and I agree with you. I mean, I think it would be very difficult, you know, in a larger city, not every large city, but say for like New York or Chicago or something like this, at this time, it would be very, very difficult. Let's pivot a little bit more, brother. Let's talk about your company. Tell us about FCS.
So FCS is really two companies. I've been out of the bureau since 2012. I worked as had my own company for about 2 years. I was doing private investigations and some, you know, kind of high end work. And I also worked for the PGA Tour as a contractor.
Whoa, hold on. I want to get that gig.
Well, there was about five FBI agents, still are, about five FBI agents that do all the security for the PGA Tour.
Oh, my God.
The events, I know.
Love golf.
It was tough.
I know.
There really was, you know, some travel to it, and you're away. I think I was away 13 weeks the first year and a couple of those weeks back to back. And, of course, the tournament literally is Monday to Sunday
for
everybody out on the course. So I did that for a couple of years, and it was a lot of fun. And I had an opportunity to go to a corporate job that I'd been recruited to by a friend of mine. And I went to, it was Steinmark National Wheel Dealers, vice president of security there. Well, along the way in 28, when I first got here in Jacksonville, I met a former NCIS agent who had started a security company, First Coast Security, which was primarily a man guarding operation. And we became good friends. Turned out we'd grown up 3 miles from each other, went to rival high schools. He was a church police officer when I was a Arlington police officer, right next to each other. And just stayed in touch for many years after that. And in about 2017, he asked me to come to be the COO of his company, about 2,500 officers and 13 different states, doing some, you know, we have some pretty good sized clients. And I did that for a couple of years, and we'd always talked about sort of branching off and doing the investigations again, because he saw that was kind of my passion and my experience and things like that. So literally just in March of this past year, we spun off a sister company called FCS Global Advisors. And what we're doing in that space is, you know, the corporate litigation, some mergers and acquisition due diligence. We're looking at cyber issues. We're doing some deep background investigations for companies and organizations. You know, just sort of that sort of work, and using a kind of a Rolodex of about 500 former FBI agents that are out there doing the same thing. So I like to kind of promote the company as, you know, if you engage us, you're literally engaging about 500 former FBI agents around the country that can do, you know, the same kind of work I can. And,
Now,
back and forth. Yeah.
And you're in a dozen states, like you said. Mm-hmm. How many security people do you have employed by the company?
We have about 2,500 officers.
Wow. And I love what you say. You're big enough to in the security industry to matter, but small enough to pay attention to the details and care about our customers. You don't want to get too big.
Yeah.
Too big. So you're not in Colorado, right? You're in Okay.
No, we're not the probably closest to Colorado. We have a little bit in the Las Vegas area, Phoenix, or Oregon, believe it or not. We have a big operation in Oregon with a huge data center that we don't name, but you know who it is.
Well, I love having, like I said, I love having guests on that have that entrepreneurial spirit that, you know, after a long distinguished career like you had, you still are active and into it. And did you always want to do kind of the entrepreneurial route at some
point? Yeah, I did. In fact, it was a hard decision for me when I was kind of doing my own thing and acting as a consultant for the PGA Tour. you know, this opportunity came along to be a corporate VP. And I, you know, I really struggled with that because I was having fun doing my thing and, you know, kind of building a business, but it was too good of an opportunity. And I really respected the guy that had the job before me. He'd kind of built a corporate security structure and he really wanted another SAC to come in and take it and, you know, move it on from there. So I did leave, you know, the entrepreneurial world for about 4 years or so, but I'm glad to be back in it. And I, yeah, I do kind of have that, you know, sort of, you know, build something and see what we can do with it.
Sure. Now, do you ever think, I asked you this before, before we went on, do you ever think that they were going to, I know years ago that they were talking about privatizing law enforcement. Do you ever think that would happen?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because the gentleman I mentioned, the former NCS agent, Bland Colon, he's a prince of a guy who is the sole shareholder of the original company, FCS. He's talked about that for years. He really has this vision that, and he's a classic entrepreneur. He's got a really big vision, and then he has people under him that can kind of execute that vision. And he's talked about that, you know, he really sees, you know, places like, you know, gated communities or even, you know, larger communities, you know, especially if the police get defunded. I mean, people with resources aren't going to go unprotected.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, we saw that in Minneapolis. I read a piece in the paper that, you know, right after they voted to defund the police, the city council people felt like they were, you know, particularly threatened. So they went out and hired a company to give these people protection. And it was
amazing
something like $4,300 a day per person. I mean, but that kind of thing will happen. So and it doesn't have to be related to completely defunding the police. I do think there'll be a move more toward privatization of security, maybe not law enforcement, but, you know, you see communities become, you know, more private. And I'm not sure that's best for everybody. I mean, I think people work best in communities and everybody has a little, you know, skin in the game and things like that. And I'm not sure walling ourselves off is the answer.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think it might happen.
Brave New World, my friend. If people want to reach out to you and reach out to employer services or reach out to connect with you, sir, how do they find you?
We have two websites. One is fcssecurity.us. It's all one word, fcssecurity.us. And the second is fcsglobaladvisors.us. So either one of those will point you toward me. And I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all of those things.
Well, Jim Casey, thank you so much, sir, for your dedicated service to this great country. Thank you for what you are doing, going out there and educating and talking to many people. And best luck to your company. Anything we can do for you, please reach out, sir.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, Jim. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.